2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. This is the reading of God's word. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Clearly shows us our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. And because of his accomplishments, who we are in Christ now and forever. Oh Father, let us see our heavenly reality through your word and let us rejoice, for you are our God. And we are your people now and forever. And Father, we pray that by your grace, we will be able to meet your Son through your word and have fellowship with him even as we gather here to worship you. Oh Father, as we hear your word, we pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, an ear to hear the loving voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ. We thank you, and we pray that you would receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we started looking at the chapter 12 last time. We read verses 1 through 10, but we could not finish up to verse 10. I believe we finish up to verse 8, beginning of verse 8. Oh no, beginning of verse 9. So we'll finish this section today. We learned that last time, Paul, he had what he calls the thorn in the flesh. And we learn from God's word that God gave this to keep him from exalting himself. We saw this thorn in the flesh, and we could not tell what exactly this is. But we saw this as the cross that Paul had to carry. God says to us, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this is the cross that Paul had to carry. And there, last time we saw, Paul prayed three times. It is the Garden of Gethsemane for Paul. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul prayed three times and heard the answer from God, My grace is sufficient for you. Yes, we have this what is called thorn in the flesh also. We have our crosses to carry. And many times God invites us to go to our Garden of Gethsemane and pray. And whenever you pray, I pray that you will hear God's voice just as, and when I say you hear God's voice, I'm not talking about audible voice, but in your heart, that God will tell you, My grace is sufficient for you. Then Paul says, and this is where we stopped last time, My grace is sufficient for you, God tells him, and he God continues for power, meaning God's power, is perfected in weakness, Paul's weakness. The thorn in the flesh was given to keep Paul from becoming arrogant and boastful. And you know, and I know, there is no end to sinners' arrogance and boast. It follows after the mind of Satan, which is described in Isaiah 14, verse 14b. I will be like the Most High, or I shall rival the Most High. The arrogance of sinners. They forget God. They forget how they are existing. Is there anything that happens in this universe apart from God? Even sins happen because God allows them. Who gave the water, the air that we absolutely need to survive just a short time? In Genesis, we see how God made man out of the dust of the earth. And it's only after God breathed in the breath of life, then, only then, man became a living person. If God does not give us life and power, then we are just the dust of the earth. And yet, the sinners are arrogant beyond measure. They misunderstand that they exist on their own abilities and power. But the true Christians know that all is by God's grace and acknowledges God in all things. The only thing that a sinner is able to do is sin. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 5b, apart from me, you can do nothing. The sinners hate to acknowledge this. They hate it more than death. Thus, they rather go to eternal death than admit this. The truth of the matter is that unless God pours out His grace, no sinner will acknowledge God in anything. The truth is hidden to the sinful world. The world boasts the accomplishments of men. And many times those accomplishments look a big deal even to us. But if you really think about it, it is God who is in complete control in all things. It is God's doing. You being born in a certain family, raised up in a certain society, going to certain schools, getting certain jobs, don't you think God has anything to do with that? Nothing will happen apart from God. If God wanted you to do certain things, invent certain things, accomplish certain things, then you would. But like what we said earlier, the truth is hidden to the sinful world. They see the man with accomplishments as a great man. They have very high opinion of that man. Thus, the truth that God is in control and God is working in history is completely hidden from these sinful people. But God pours out His grace to His people to see the truth, to believe the truth. And it is through the weakness of His people God reveals His glory and power. There are two kinds of people in this world. Christians and non-Christians. One who is arrogant and boastful, thinking that he is great. The other who thinks that he lacks and knows his weakness, thus he more and more depend upon God and God's power. And this is the truth that our verse says. God's power is perfected in our weaknesses. God's power is witnessed through our weaknesses. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. And if you consider yourself Christian, listen very carefully. It tells you who you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. If you're a Christian, if you're chosen, you're probably weak things of the world. Because God chooses the weak things to shame that which is strong. The base things, the despised, God has chosen to reveal the true power, His power. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know your weaknesses? Do you know that you are weak? Or do you think that you have much to boast? You know, I've been hearing when I was young, growing up in a Korean church, you know, they were telling me that I must develop myself to be a person that God could use. You know, be a person that God needs so that God could use me. Is this right? Does God need anyone? Does God need you? Or me? Is there anything or anybody that God cannot use? What if you don't have any skills? God cannot use you? Can God use this chair? Make chair to speak and tell you the gospel? It will do much better job than what I could do. Because if God uses that chair to preach the gospel, it will not make any mistakes. It will not tell you anything that is wrong. But see, I'm not perfect. No, God could use anything He wants, but God doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need your abilities. He doesn't need your anything. People have wrong understanding. I don't have to develop myself and be somebody that is able so that God could use me. No. See, then, if that's true, then anybody who claims that they're being used by God, what are they saying? They're actually saying, I'm great. Because I'm great, God is using me. That is what they're saying. No. We know that God does not need us, or even when God uses us, it is not because we are so able. We are just so thankful that even though God does not need us, God still uses us. The Bible tells us that that is God's pleasing will, to use us, who are utterly useless, And yet he uses us to witness his power, God's power, through us. See, this is the difference between Paul and the false teachers in Corinthian church. The false teachers boasted about their abilities, and people listened to them, and they followed them. And they have accused Paul of being false. Why? Because to the eyes of the world, Paul looked weak and pathetic. He told us the sufferings that he went through. I mean, miserable sufferings. They were saying, if Paul is a man of God, if God loves Paul and God blesses Paul, then why is his life so full of sufferings and failures and just weak and pathetic? He must be false. I mean, if God is using him, he will be successful. If God is using him, don't you think he would have, like, you know, successful ministry? But look at him. He has to be false. No. See, when you go to Hebrews 11, you know that chapter, right? Hebrews chapter 11. Hall of Faith, right? I mean, you have these well-known Old Testament figures. If that person is not in that chapter, then he's not well-known. Great people of God. All kinds of accomplishments. And yet, when you read it, whenever you read about Abraham and Moses, how does the sentence begin? It says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. See, the point is not that Moses was great or Abraham is great, but Moses did whatever he did by faith. But when you read next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we should have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. Now, you think about this. Moses, by faith he did all this, but that faith that he did all this by, Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter of that faith. And he, Moses, did all that by faith. Who is actually doing the work? Who created that faith in Moses? And who is perfecting that faith in Moses? And by that faith, Moses did whatever he did. This is the point. It's not to exalt Moses or Abraham or anybody. It is to tell you the truth. What is really going on? That's why Paul says, it's all by God's grace. I am who I am and what I am by the grace of God. It's not because I'm great or I have this ability or I went to this college and I have this kind of job and I make this much money. Look at Paul, what he's saying. Verses 9b to 10, he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me, he says. Therefore, I am well content, well satisfied with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, you know, there are people who say these kind of things, but they don't really mean what they say. They just say it, so in saying it, they're actually boasting how not weak they are. But what you're reading is the Bible. It's the truth. Paul is not just, you know, this false humility. He's actually telling you the truth. Because this is the truth. He's content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties. Here we learn a little bit more of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Whatever it was, it made Paul look like in this world as someone who is weak. It made him to receive, because of that thorn in the flesh, it made him to receive many insults, distresses, being poor, suffering and lacking, persecutions and difficulties. Now, this is a total opposite of a successful person in this world. Now, this is very interesting because in the same sentence in which Paul speaks of the power of God, he lists weakness, insults, and distresses, and persecutions, and difficulties. Is that how your understanding is? What do you think you will look like if the power of God is dwelling in you? What do you think? If the power of God is in me, do you think I will look weak? I will receive so much insults and persecutions, do you think? But that is what the Bible says. Second Timothy verse 1-8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Join me, preaching the gospel, power of God. But at the same sentence, in the same sentence, he says, join me in the sufferings. What's going on? Power of God? Why am I suffering then? If there's a power of God, shouldn't I be like successful in this world? Everything will go my way because I have his power? What is this suffering then? Well, that's how world thinks. That's how world knows. But I keep telling you, the Bible is complete opposite of the world. The gospel according to the power of God, and yet join with me in suffering. Again, God's power and sufferings in the same sentence. The power of God is not witnessed in this world in terms of how the sinful world understands what is power. You know, in the world, what is power? United States is powerful. Why? Yes, we are powerful in the world. Why? Man, we could send in bombers or missiles, I mean, we have power. We could just bomb that country anytime. But Jesus says, if somebody hits you on your right cheek, then give your left. Do you see power in that? Somebody hits you and you go, hit me one more time, please. That's the power. You know how hard that is? You know how much power it takes to do that? But this is power that the world doesn't understand. Actually, this is the power that the world does not want. It's about joy in the suffering. God's power will make you do that. Rejoice in the suffering. First Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, it says that we are protected by the power of God. But it continues. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? You're protected by power of God, and yet next sentence says, but you're going to go through a lot of trials in this world. Second Corinthians chapter 13, 4. This is the key. Listen very carefully. Indeed, he, Jesus, he was crucified because of weakness. Yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Now, this is the question, brothers and sisters. How do you think the cross is seen by the world? When the world sees the cross, what do you think they will see? The power or the weakness? What do you think? Is it a sign of power or is it a sign of weakness to this world? But you and I, we preach Christ crucified, to Jew a stumbling block and to Gentile foolishness, but to those who are the called, the both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What we see and what the world sees at the same thing is completely different. The cross is weakness to the world. But to us, it's the glory. It's the power of God. This is what you must understand. Yes, we have power of God with us. But how that power is going to be expressed in this world is not according to what the world understands. Someone is giving me that you're cold. See, you guys have to really, that's why you cannot sleep, man. I know, I see everybody. All right. The true power of God is, again, hidden to this sinful world. But it will not be like this forever. When Jesus returns, his power will be visible. Yes. When he returns, watch out. Until then, it is hidden. Thus, you and I, until that day, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Now, let us notice a couple things here. First, verse 10, therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. You know, that phrase is very important. Because weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. Understand? Apart from Christ, these things are truly terrible things. If it is not for Christ's sake, these insults and difficulties and weakness, this is really, really bad. I mean, think about it. Non-Christian, all about his life is weakness and difficult times and persecutions and all this, and then he dies and goes to hell. What is that then? Understand? These things for the Christ's sake, because of Jesus Christ, that these things happen to you, then is valuable. And notice the other thing here. If you read the whole passage, it's very clear. Paul here is not asking God to get rid of these things from his life. Weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties. He's not asking these things to be gone from his life. No, what is he saying? He is saying he's content, satisfied with these things. And he boasts about these things in his life. This is very important. But remember, Paul prayed 3 times. And that is very important to us. Because when we go through this kind of suffering and insults and all these persecutions and distresses, obviously we are on our knees and pray to God, God, if you will, let this cup pass me by. Just like Jesus Christ, we pray. We go to our Garden of Gethsemane and we pray 3 times. But at the end, we say, just like Jesus Christ, but not by my will, but by yours. And Paul here understands the will of God for his life. Because do you remember what God says in Acts chapter 9 when Paul first time met Jesus Christ, the risen Lord? Jesus says, I will show him, Paul, how much sufferings he has to go through. And through the Bible, God has shown us the same thing, how much we must suffer for Christ. But like Jesus, we are able to pray 3 times. But God blesses us. We hear his voice through his word. My grace is sufficient for you. Thus you get up from your knees and you understand the will of God, and then on, you're actually content. Do you understand what Paul is doing? You're actually content. And you even boast how weak you are. Yeah, how nobody you are. Because in heaven, you are not nobody. You're a son of God. But here, you are nobody. And our purpose is not to be somebody in this world. Our purpose is to be like Christ. I know this is difficult message to accept. Don't you think I know that? Then why I bring these kind of messages to you Sunday after Sunday, knowing that you're not going to like it? Because if my purpose is to be successful, if my purpose is for all of you to like me so that you will bring more and more people so that all of them will like me, I will not bring this kind of message to you. But I have to bring the truth to you. Because love that God gave me, the love which I use to love you, forces me to bring you the truth. That's why I'm so grateful and so thankful for this church. But it says, wonderful thing here, it says, he's content with all these things so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. This word dwell is really precious word. It means tabernacle. It means to pitch a tent. You know, tent, tabernacle was a tent. When the tabernacle was completed, the Holy Spirit filled the tabernacle. The glory of God filled the tabernacle. That is the picture. He says, he's content with weaknesses and distresses and persecutions so that he is able to witness the power of God is tabernacling with him. The power of God resides in me, the temple, because I am the temple of God. Brothers and sisters, if you look at me, and the same thing with you, if I look at you with faith, understand the truth, you know what I have? You know what I have in my possession? The power of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And that power of God which is in me, how do you think it will be expressed in my life? How? If you understand that in terms of how this world understands, oh, then you're going to think, oh, yeah, that pastor has a power. Man, he's going to do some big things in the world. Yes. See, I don't even have to use the mic. I will never be successful in this world. But that doesn't mean the power of God is not with me. If you're a Christian, power of God is with you. Anybody who denies that is denying the truth. Holy Spirit lives in me. But I know how that power is going to be expressed in my life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not here to scold you, okay? That's not my purpose. Brothers and sisters, we have to admit that life is indeed hard. And you young people will know more about it as you grow old. Life is hard. And our lives in this world looks weak. I mean, you know, it's so amazing. It's so pitiful that among Christians, we compare one another and say, how I'm more stronger than you, I'm more richer than you, and all this dumb things they do. But if you really compare with the richest person in the world, most powerful person in the world, you're nobody. It is hard. Our lives as a Christian in this world, it will look weak. And it will fill with insults and distresses and persecutions and difficulties. This is God's promise. God never promised you to make rich here. He would, he could, if that's what he wants, but he never promised you. But these things, it is promised to you. But, brothers and sisters, understand what is really happening when you face with these things. Understand the will of God for you. Let us be content. Let us be satisfied with those things, these things. Let us even boast about these things. Always remembering that the grace of God is sufficient for us. All of God's plan that He has for us will be completely and perfectly fulfilled, and it is already fulfilled spiritually, and it will be visible when Jesus comes back. You know, every plan that God has for you, even before the foundation of the universe, He has a plan for you. That plan will be completely, perfectly fulfilled. Perfectly. No matter what circumstances you find yourselves in, no matter how you think your life is so pathetic in this world, God's plan for you will completely fulfill, and it's already fulfilled spiritually. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and be very content and be happy and understand that these things will make us humble. And these things will make us depend upon Jesus Christ more and more. And these things will make us acknowledge of our God who is in complete control of all things. You know, they make us, these things make us believe and acknowledge that all is by the grace of God. On the other hand, if you become successful, actually that will make you arrogant. I'm not saying that's always the case, but there's that tendency. So brothers and sisters, these things are not that bad. It will actually humble us. It will actually make us depend on God. And acknowledge that all is by His grace. And that is the power of God. Making you acknowledge and confess that. No power in this world will make anybody do that. Except the power of God. Amazing power. May this arrogant person humble before God. Acknowledge Him. No other power in the world will make me do that. No money in the world will make me do that. I might pretend just to get that money, but it's not from my heart. But the power of God made me do that. And it's not about, oh yeah, I'm so good at doing that. No, 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 no. I'm so bad at doing that, but He still makes me do it, and He continues to make me do it, and one day when I see Him face to face, I will do that perfectly. But even now, He's making me do it. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is our confession. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Remember, it is when the world sees us as weak and when we acknowledge that we are weak, then at that moment we are strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me just read two passages and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. We are known as unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do you understand? In the world, this is how they're going to see you are not well known, unknown. You're dying, you're punished, you're sorrowful, you're poor, you have nothing. But no, unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet having all things in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. World will see us one way, but that's not who we are. But who we are is hidden to this world until Jesus is visible. Then who we are will be visible even to this world. But until then, we live by faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, give us faith. Increase our faith. That we may be content when we are weak, when we receive many insults, when our lives are filled with distresses, persecutions, and difficulties. For when we are weak, because who is in us, we are strong. You who are in us is stronger than the one who is in the world. And we already have victory in Jesus Christ. Be with us and let us express the power of God exactly according to how you want it, how you want it to be expressed in this world. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.